I'm Mark Tremonti, I'm with Alter Bridge. For my whole career, I've used D'Addario strings. I'm always experimenting with tuning, so it's something that makes it necessary to have different string gauges because you can't really put a set of 10s on a guitar that's tuned down to A. And D'Addario is patient with me to make it all happen.
Hey everybody, this is Perry with Premier Guitar. This week, we are running down the rig of Sammy Bohler. I first came across Sammy in 2020. We did a virtual rig rundown during the pandemic. And this guy's just so good and has come so far. We decided he definitely deserved an in-person live rig rundown. So I hope you enjoy this. Sammy is an undeniable talent. He's on Candy Rat Records, which, you know, if you guys are familiar, you might think acoustic fingerstyle or modern fingerstyle, stuff that was, you know, heavily influenced by Michael Hedges in the 70s, guys like Antoine Dufour and, you know, Andy McKee and stuff like that. But Sammy kind of apply some of those techniques to an electric guitar, as well as just traditional. I mean, his shred is just undeniable, and the way he phrases things is just so beautiful, and this guy is like using 90% of his brain, and it's beautiful to watch him play, and it was great to have a chance to sit down and talk with him, and I hope you guys enjoy it. What's up, everybody? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in a very undisclosed location in Nashville, Tennessee, with my good friend Sammy Bohler. Sammy, dude, I'm glad we could actually do this in person. If you guys have been paying attention, the last time we tried to do a rig rundown was during a pandemic, so we had to do it over Zoom, which kind of sucked. But this is a much cooler situation because we're live.
We're doing it live with
the actual stuff. This is great.
No, it's lovely to see you, man.
Yeah, it's great to see you as well, man.
It's awesome. So.
Similar setup to last time. Nothing too crazy has changed. I've definitely recognized this Gibson.
Oh yeah, this has been my main
one, right?
Forever. Yeah. I did a lot of questions about it, but it's basically just a Les Paul Access. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It is like a one-off guitar. Somebody had it made. Like usually with the Les Paul Accesses, they look like a Les Paul standard. You know.
Right.
But this one obviously has like the look of a custom.
Sure.
Yeah, I love this guitar, man. Like, I'm sure you know, like, sometimes you just get so close to an instrument, it's hard to pick anything else
totally,
up, you know?
Man. You know, for people that are familiar with your music, if you're not, go check it out. This guy's incredible. You have such an amalgam of technique and style that most people won't ever be able to approach in their entire lifetime.
Oh,
so
thanks, man.
I've always wondered, like, you know, you do such a good job of blending, like, tapping techniques in with traditional shreddy stuff, and does that at all inform how you have your guitar set up? Because I know, like, you know, is your action super low?
It's really, really low.
Really?
Yeah, that's a big thing for me. Like, no matter what guitars I'm playing, like, with this one, I'm constantly messing with it on the road. Cause you know, like when you're traveling, the next move. But this one's pretty solid. But just from playing, I've actually had it fret leveled twice. So now this one is like a fretless wonder, but just kind of inadvertently, it made it so I can get the action just insanely low. To the point where like I'll give it to my friends and they can't even, they're like, what is this?
Yeah,
I can't believe this is set up like, yeah, it's like weird.
Yeah, you're playing in such a different way. Like, were you a piano player first?
How did I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
that makes perfect sense. Because I'm like, I watch, you know, like obviously love you, your music is great, but I love your covers and I like follow all that
stuff
too. And it's funny to watch you do it. It's like, oh my God, this guy's like a 10 finger orchestra.
He's just
like,
thank you so much,
doing
man.
The damn thing. Yeah.
I appreciate it. But
how did that start? Like, what got you into that?
I kind of, you know, man, like after my first band broke up, I got off the road and was like kind of burnt out on everything I was playing, you know? And I always liked like the like solo jazz guitar thing, but I could never do it at all, you know, like it just didn't come naturally to me, you know. But I always liked the idea of like being able to do like the chords and the melody at the same time, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So that
it's
just
kind of like a Neo Chet Atkins thing.
I love Chet Atkins.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah. I've never really been able to do the fingerstyle thing too well though. So I don't know. Like I always liked tapping, and like it kind of just happened naturally, you know.
So like I feel like you're a bit of an outlier for Candy Rat, and I'm like a huge fan of that label, and you know, I love Andy McKee and Antoine and all those dudes. How did they find you? Or did you find them? Or like, how did that happen?
The owner of the label, I had my record done and I was kind of like shopping it around, and he checked it out and just was really, really into it and sent me an email and said,
"That's so cool."
Yeah, no, he's been, I love working with them, man. Like, I grew up a fan of Candy Rat too.
Yeah.
You know, like, all the acoustic guys.
Totally. And that's, I think, what's weird about your situation with them is, like, do they have other
There's a few electric guys? They have a couple electric guitar players, yeah. But, yeah, they've been great, man. They've been really supportive.
Yeah.
So,
man.
No, I feel lucky to be with them and, like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to continue working with them. They're great.
So, all right, you're from Detroit, you're in the South. How much trouble does the trem give you? Or, I mean, the locking nut, I'm sure, helps.
Not at all. This thing, it's blocked, so it's not full floating. But that's the main thing, like, with using the Floyd Rose, the tuning stability is the biggest thing for me. Like, I like doing the dive bombs and just making noise, but with this, it's like, just eliminating tuning problems is such a big difference.
Huge,
Just being on stage, like, I hate having to tune on stage and going, oh, God, it's out, you know?
So, a lot of, you know, what would you call it, neo fingerstyle, like the Candy Rat roster, a lot of those dudes are playing in very odd tunings.
Right.
Is that something you do, or you try to keep it
standard? I haven't messed with it so much. I think on my new record I've done a little bit of it, but no, I'm just down a half step most of the time for all my solo
so
stuff.
So standard other than that?
Yeah, just standard. I like, when you do the alternate tunings, it does kind of change the way, it changes your creativity a little bit,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But like a lot of the stuff I do is kind of based, like kind of pattern based, you know?
Right.
So as soon as I start changing stuff around everything, it kind of messes me up a little.
Totally, you know? Yeah. Like, it's also especially hard if you're very accustomed to one tuning.
One tuning,
going back and forth.
And it's like, and I don't really like changing guitars on stage that much. I know that's kind of weird. Like, I kind of like just sticking with one or maybe two during a set.
What strings?
Elixir, just 10 through 46.
So you just like standard. A coded for the tackle?
I have this weird thing in my hands where they just rip through strings if they're not coded. Like, when I was a kid, like if I changed strings, they'd be dead in like a few hours. It's weird, man.
Whoa.
Like, I don't know if it's like acidic hands or, weird.
Interesting.
But the Elixirs last forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can do a whole tour and not even have to change them.
Yeah.
So,
What about picks before we get too far into it? Because you're sometimes using picks, right?
Like, oh, yeah,
for the
yeah.
shreddy stuff, yeah.
It's just Dunlop extra heavy, so like 1.2.
So you just stuff them in there until you're ready?
Dude, if anybody else has a better, like, system for putting the pick away and then being able to tap and grab it back, but yeah, I just keep it right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't come up with anything
better. Because unlike other players, when you're tapping, it's not like you can tuck it and hide it. Like,
cause sometimes you can.
Sometimes, but you're using your finger. All of them.
Sometimes you can. What's so funny, man, is like during, like, or at least like during my set, I kind of have to work out exactly where I'm going to grab the pick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious. But yeah, I try to just do it the same way every time so it doesn't, I don't mess up on stage or
that
whatever.
That makes perfect sense.
But yeah, I've always done that. I've just kind of kept it up there. But no, nothing crazy. I do think, though, like sticking with one pick gauge or one, like, thickness is really important, or at least for me. Like, I think that just helps keep your playing consistent. Like, I know some people use whatever, like,
sure,
depending on the part they change, but for me, I've always, like when you find something you like, just try to stick with it, I think, you know?
The just helps with the consistency. Helps, for sure.
Yeah.
So, given the fact that you're a half step down, especially live, but, you know, for most of the time, does that inform your gauge? Or, like, are you going 11s instead?
It's just 10s.
Oh, really?
Okay. I've tried 9s before, but I snap them, you know?
Because you're bending too hard?
Yeah, I kind of play kind of heavy, or pick kind of heavy, but that seems kind of to be the magic thing for me. Like, 10s down a half step kind of feels the best, you know, at least with this scaling.
For the tension and everything, sure.
I've done that forever.
Yeah.
But I was playing in drop B for a while, like, in another band, so I had, like, kind of like a crazy...
A six-string?
A six-string drop B, on an Explorer. So, like, with that, you have to go really heavy strings. But that's, like, kind of the only time I was, like, making a custom set for that. But other than it's always just 10 through 46.
Okay, so when you're not on this guy, which I think most of your audience has seen, you have another guitar. Is it mostly a backup, or is it something
I'll play them both, like, depending on the night.
Yeah.
They sound similar. These are Motor City pickups. And I have the same pickups in, I have a Friedman guitar that I use a lot as well, so I'll show you that.
Dude, pull that bad boy out. Okay.
Yeah, so this is a Friedman NoHo 24. So what's cool about this is it's 24 frets, but it's got the Les Paul scaling, so it's short, which is kind of weird for a 24 fret guitar, yeah.
Does that throw you off at all?
No, I love it, man. It took a little bit, before this guitar, I never had a 24 fret before, so it took a little bit getting used to just to that. I started getting lost up here sometimes, but
totally.
Other than that, no, this guitar is awesome, man.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The direct mount pickups are so cool in that.
It's great. It sounds really good, and like, this guitar, I would say like it's the same pickups as the Les Paul, but the Les Paul kind of has a like a wider thing. And this, for some reason, I think it's just the wood of the body. Like, it's a little bit more direct. Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Interesting.
But, yeah, sounds amazing,
man. Do all Les Pauls have a cap?
I don't know.
I wonder if that has something to do with
it. It probably does, yeah. It probably does. But or maybe just, like, the bolt-on neck. I'm not totally
sure. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't consider that. But, so you have an interesting relationship with Dave. Like, you guys, I see you do stuff with Dave all the time.
Yeah.
How did you come to meet him?
We're from the same part of Detroit.
No kidding?
Yeah, and okay. We have some mutual friends. And he started visiting Detroit a lot, like maybe, I don't know, like 10 years ago from LA. And one time he was in town, we just kind of connected through a friend. But yeah, Dave's done so much for me, man. Like he's helped me so much just, you know, with all kinds of things.
He is such a cool dude.
He's the best, man. Yeah. And I started playing this because we were doing a lot of guitar clinics together. And
Was this a gift from him?
I got it. Yeah, it was through like an endorsement.
That's
or whatever.
Cool.
But yeah,
that's
really it's cool. Awesome, man. Yeah, he hooked it up. But no, I love this guitar. I take it everywhere with me now. So,
dude, speaking of the genius that is Dave Friedman, you're also running. I think I've only seen you play this amp.
This is like the only amp I use live,
right?
For pretty much the entire time I've been touring.
Because why would you get another amp if you have this one?
This thing is
so nasty.
The B100. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like there's something about it. Like, not only the consistency, like, I've never had this thing go out once
right.
in years, you know, banging around in trucks and vans and all kinds of stuff. But just, like, the pure sound of it, yeah, like, the cleans are amazing. And obviously, like, it's known for the distortion. Like,
sure.
As soon as you hit the distortion, like, I don't know. I've always been, like, an Eddie guy. So, like, I like getting all the sound.
Round sound. Yeah, totally.
And, like, all the distortion in the amp.
I think that's what, like, kind of blew me away about Dave's stuff initially. Like, I love high-gain amps. He nailed that.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to find a great high gain amp that also has a really beautiful clean.
Has a great clean channel,
like,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love like being able to go from like the really pristine clean to the just like full blown, you know,
so fun.
Slam and distortion. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this is an amazing amp, man, and like so consistent, you know. I can't remember like the last time I used a different amp live. Like, yeah. It's been a workhorse.
Guessing this is 6L6 based?
EL34.
It is?
Yeah, EL34.
Interesting, okay.
Yep, yeah. Huh. I've always been more of like an EL34 guy. Like
I've always noticed that his amps, the high gains have just such a rich mid. And I wonder if it's the 34s that are doing it.
You know? It's, yeah, it's like it's got that Marshall thing, but it's got like more the fucking hot rotted
right,
power,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it sounds great, man.
Yeah.
And this cabinet's cool too, because I don't know like if you're super familiar with this stuff, but it's got 25s and 30s in it. So it's got two 25s and two 30s.
Like in a cross pattern or something?
I think top and bottom.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, for recording, I've always liked the 25s. But for live, having that combination, it's cool.
That
you
is
know?
Cool. Because
you
really
kind of
cool.
get the clarity and like the punch, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I love this amp, man. Like, I don't think I'll ever use anything else.
Yeah, man. What a dream amp. Hopefully someday this show is big enough that I can afford a Friedman myself.
Dude,
I am so partial to that.
You know Dave, he'll help you out.
I know, but that Jerry Cantrell signature is like, oh my God.
I know, I want to get one of those. I know. Have you seen the Plexi yet?
I saw the amp. Good God.
Yeah, it's
the
shit.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Man, so you're starting with like, you know, the structure is there. You've got a couple great guitars, a great amp and cab.
Yep.
And then... Man, totally, you know, I noticed, like, especially on your record, some of the cleans sometimes almost sound like synthy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you go into ripping, like, high-gain solo stuff, and it's, like, such a fun blend. But I wonder, like, what, I guess, we'll talk pedals now, because, you know, some of those sounds, the clean sounds even, especially to me, almost sound like a Roland Jazz Chorus or something like that. They're just so clean and affected.
For the studio, like live versus studio, I kind of treat it totally differently.
Oh, okay.
You know? Like in the studio, I use a lot of different amps.
Just try everything.
Like
yeah, totally.
So on a lot of like on the record, like a lot of that was a Fender. It wasn't a Twin. I think it was a Super Reverb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a lot of the clean stuff is a Super Reverb.
Sure, kind of loud-ass Super Reverb.
Yeah, I'm like, for recording, man, like, I've always been more of like a real amp guy. Like, you know, mic it up in the studio and crank it, you know. But this does a great job of doing it live, just the clean channel. The one thing I think one weird thing is like the EQ, I guess, for doing the tapping. I get some questions about that sometimes, but if you notice, like the treble's all the way up and the bass is off, which is kind of bizarre. Like any other style of clean guitar, I don't think that would be like a normal thing.
Hey y'all, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So our rig rundowns for a long time now have been sponsored by D'Addario. And I'm thrilled to be using the D'Addario Expand pedal board. I've got this little guy that fits in my gig bag, and like many of you, I'm changing pedals all the time. I love having a board that can shrink as I'm shrinking my board or expand as I'm expanding it. And that's why I love the Expand pedal board. Their patented telescoping technology lets me instantly change the size of my pedals playground. It also features a unique cable management system and comes fitted with loops of Velcro, keeping everything neat and easy to swap. The two Expand versions comes with either one or two rows, depending on your needs. So a big thanks to D'Addario. Now, let's get back to more rig rundowns.
But no, for some reason, like that's the perfect way to make it cut live, you know, yeah. for the tapping at least.
Are you, you know, your tapping is so consistent. Are you using compression?
I am, yeah. Okay. So I use the Empress compressor right here.
Oh yeah, those are great, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great company. And that one is just, I don't know, I tried a bunch of them, but that one doesn't color the sound too much. It just makes it feel like you have distortion, if that makes sense. At least that's the way I think about like compression.
Like a boosty kind of?
Not so much, like it still keeps it really clean, but the actual feel of
like
when you're
response.
Playing. The
okay,
response,
yeah, yeah.
Like if the sustain you get kind of makes it just easier live,
sure.
You know? But yeah, that's a really good compressor. And I guess that combination with just using a couple delays is kind of how it helps keep it, make it sound big.
Yeah, because your sound is so atmospheric and beautiful and washy. It's
thanks,
like,
man. Appreciate it.
You know, obviously the Holy Grail, like it's a staple, man. That's a great verb.
That thing works amazing. And I've had that pedal forever, but I like it that it's just one knob,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Because sometimes I have a couple of different reverb pedals at home, but that one just for live, it can't, you know, if you knock it over or whatever, or the knobs get twisted,
right.
It's not going to sound insane, you know?
And they're relatively easy to find. Like if it,
yeah.
For some reason, got stolen or died on you, you can find it.
Yep.
The carbon copy, everyone loves that bad boy. That's a great pedal.
That thing's great. Yeah. And I have it in the loop. I know like a lot of people run it in front of the amp, but, I use that more as like a, like kind of an ambient, it's like almost not noticible, you
okay.
Know? And
yeah.
I'm not really even using it right now, like on this tour at least, but, for like more like if I'm playing like rhythm guitar, like with distortion, I'll leave that on just to kind of
just to widen the sound almost.
To widen it, yeah. And I don't really like playing like super dry or, you know, I kind of like it to.
Who does?
Yeah, nobody does.
Yeah,
so.
It's the worst.
Exactly, man. But yeah, that thing works really well for that. Kind of
yeah.
Like an unnoticeable delay. It just kind of changes the feel of it.
Right, right.
You know? But yeah, the main delays I have are just the TC flashback. And I use, honestly, it's just, you can store three presets in it, but I'm using one most of the time, and then I have a second preset that's more of like a really washed out delay that I only use in a couple
so
things.
So it would be like three presets and a tap tempo. That's how they do that?
Yep,
okay,
correct.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha. Because yep. The thing is pretty much like a bunch of different delays built into one.
You can
unit,
do
right?
Some wild
yeah,
stuff with it.
Yeah, you can do some really wacky stuff with it, right?
Yeah, you can, and every setting is really cool. All the different delays they have in there are really cool.
And, you know, listening to your record, you would maybe one would assume that you are looping quite a bit, but you're not a ton, right?
Live, I'm not looping too much.
Right.
It's a lot more raw live, I'd say, than
sure.
The record. Like, ideally, like, yeah, it's basically like a two guitar record. Like, there's a lot of rhythm guitars
right,
and stuff
right,
like
right.
That. But live, we're just a three piece that's just guitar, bass, and drums. So
and bass helps fill the rhythm part out enough for you.
Yeah, I'm lucky I have a wonderful bass
yeah,
player.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he's got with a huge sound,
yeah.
So that helps a lot. But yeah, it sounds a little bit different live, but I like that.
Yeah.
Like I've always liked it, like when bands are a little bit different live versus in the studio, you know,
sure.
Or
yeah.
It's not like just playing the record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotta check
so,
it out a little bit, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on to Decimator. Is that like an always on?
Yeah, I never turn
okay.
That off. I don't think I've ever done a gig without that pedal, to be completely
really?
Honest.
It doesn't suck your tone or you don't feel any?
It's amazing. No, so With the G string, that version of it, you run it in front of the amp and through the effects loop.
Oh.
And before that pedal came out, I used to use two of them. I used to do one in front,
and then,
like back in the days, like I'm sure you remember, like the only high gain amps were like the Mesas and 5150s.
Scream.
Yeah, I played before these came out, like when I was a teenager, like I had an old Blackletter 5150.
Yeah, and they're great.
Amazing, but it's unusable without.
And forget about the clean channel.
The clean channel, it doesn't work. But that pedal is a game changer.
Yeah.
And you have to adjust, like if you're building a rig out where you're running that pedal in the loop and in front, like you have to adjust, you have to ground lift some of it, like it's ground lifted in there to fix that. Like usually it's not good if you do that with certain pedals, but.
I feel like I never really got okay with noise suppression until the ISP stuff.
Yeah.
You know, at first, you know, when I was a kid and playing the Blackletter or whatever, the boss NS2 is like, or the noise suppressor wasn't.
It was good, but it wasn't fast enough.
It sucked your tone, and the latency was a little.
It wouldn't clamp it fast enough. But for some reason, like whatever, they just worked it out early on, you know, and that thing. I don't think I've ever played a gig without that pedal, to be totally honest. But that's the best, man. And the reason it doesn't suck the tone when you go clean is because it's running through the effects loop.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
What a good way to do that.
Yeah, it's a shit.
You have a little tiny baby little wah pedal there.
It's because it's the only one that fits. But But that's just the Dunlop, just mini wah or whatever. But
those are great.
It works great. Yeah. And it's got like three sounds in it. I forget which one I'm on
now. Dude, it's like a third of the size of a...
I know. It's a little bit, it looks kind of, you know.
Did it take you time to learn the throw of it? Because it's got to be different than a...
I don't use it that much. I only use it on like one song, but no, it's all right. I mean, I think just the convenience of it is really nice. But to be honest, man, I've seen more and more people use those as of late. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Just because of size and like...
just did a rundown with Kingfish.
And he's amazing.
He's
unbelievable. I saw him using that thing.
He has a little tiny one, and he also has like a size 14 shoe. So it's like his foot just engulfs it.
That's hilarious,
but
man.
He was saying like, I'm so used to it now that like...
You know, it's probably weird going back to a normal wah after.
Yeah.
But no, he's one of my favorite new players, man. That's cool. You got to interview him.
He's touched by the hand of God. Yeah. Like, you should watch his rundown with Bollinger. It's not only like mind-blowing, but the dude is just... God, the most amazing personality. I love
him. I really love him, man. Yeah, I really want to see him live. But yeah, that's cool. I've seen him play that.
Yeah,
play that too.
And then Phase 90, love it.
That's a pedal I've had since I was a kid too.
Sure.
But I use
any Eddie fan has got to have this on the board, right?
I'm a huge Eddie fan. Yeah. So yeah, you got to have that. You can't go on stage without that. But I use that more just like as an effect.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah.
But sometimes I'll turn it on for a solo or something if it's just to change it up. But
yeah, are you using it for clean parts or both?
For distortion.
Yeah,
like I just have a sound where it's like kind of it's really washed out.
Yeah,
you know.
But, you have it set pretty wide too. So
pretty wide. Yeah, for a while I was just turning it all the way up to just like get a really weird sound.
Yeah,
you
just
know,
to
but,
make an effect.
Yeah,
a little seasicky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's all good, man. No, that's a stable. It's honestly like it's a pretty big board, but it's a relatively simple setup.
Yeah, especially running through this controller, like that's got
to... The Musicom Lab is a game changer, like, especially since I've been doing the instrumental stuff, like, when you're doing the tapping and then going and switching channels, like, when I was having to do the pedal dance at the same time, like, it was kind of giving me a lot of problems. Yeah, it was a nightmare. But this is probably my favorite switcher, man. Like, I know there's a lot of them out there now, but this one is really easy to program, which I like. And it's just really consistent. So, yeah, I can take you through the sounds.
I would actually love to hear some sounds. Are you setting this up, like, in your mind, is it like I have these five sounds for my set and 1, 2, 3, 4,
that's
five?
That's it. Yeah, I don't do the song thing.
I love when guys do that. Yeah, because the bank up per song, like, oh god,
you
it would get so confusing.
It's amazing. I mean, that's convenient because you get like, you can program the BPMs of the songs all that. But we do some stuff where it's not on a click, you know, so it's like it would be off anyway.
Right.
But yeah, I just go, basically, this amp is a three-channel amp. So the first channel's clean with my instrumental stuff, I almost never have the delay off. The delay's on everything.
Yeah.
But it's like clean, middle channel for like playing melodies with distortion. And then three is so like when I'm taking full solos, like extra high gain. And then it kind of does that again, but with a different delay patch. So
gotcha. Okay.
Four is clean, but with like a heavier delay. Five is that same thing, like middle channel, but with heavier delay. And then six is the high gain, but with the phase 90 and the extra delay. So that's kind of like the most extreme one.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Now, are you kind of like relegated to the six? Or are you banking up and down? Or
that's it. That's all I use. To be honest, I'm pretty much on one, two, and three the whole time.
Sure, sure. Let's hear them, dude.
All right. So the thing at the beginning of the video is number one. So this is probably like my main sound most of the night, just for the tapping for the stuff. So it's the compressor, the flashback, and the Holy Grail. Just through the clean channel or whatever, but it's. It works.
Yeah, totally.
It sounds good. And this is actually like kind of a lot quieter than I usually play live.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's probably my main sound most of the night. And then I can show you kind of just what the distortion sounds. I also have like a global preset, which is just no effect. So this is just like the middle channel of the amp. So it's like,
I love that is the middle channel.
That's the middle channel.
The third channel.
Dude, like, I know. It sounds so good.
It's so gnarly, man.
I know. And it's like, whenever we're sound checking or whatever the sound, as soon as you hit that or go to that channel, the sound, I was like, wow, that's cool.
But it's so wide.
It sounds huge, yeah.
It's,
and like playing
such
with
a saturated distortion. I love it.
I love that, man. Yeah. It makes it easy to play. You know?
Totally, yeah.
It's saturated, but it's like really clear. Well,
so much definition.
Yeah. So that's like, I'd say I'm usually on that channel, like if I'm doing leads, but I'll turn this on and that's just the middle channel with the flashback. So just it's almost like, it's just one pedal. So it's basically
just a taste of delay, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to hear it, this is where it's set. So it's like really simple. There's not, but. Yeah, it sounds great, man.
Yeah, it really does.
That's like, if I'm going, I'll use that more to like play melodies to songs, you know,
sure,
like actual parts of songs. But if I'm doing like a full-blown solo or like playing a lead in a song, this is that same thing, but just with on the third channel where it's like extra gain. It's great, man.
That's what's up.
Usually to get that amount of gain, you'd probably have to boost it or something.
Right. You know, or do a tube screamer in front of it.
But yeah, I love, those are probably my main three sounds.
And you're right about that decimator, dude.
Dead quiet.
Love it.
Yeah, and you can, it's like there's no noise even when you're just.
Right. It's funny that even the delay doesn't trip it up. You know what I mean?
And if anybody at home is wondering about that, like, if you're putting a noise gate in the loop, you put the delay after, so you can,
sure.
So it doesn't gate it
so
out,
it doesn't
you know.
Do that. Yeah,
exactly.
Suck that out. Yeah.
Yeah. So just a good tip. So, but those are like my three main sounds, and then this, I don't even think I'm using this patch right now on tour, but this is more of just like a soaked up delay. So you'll notice it's a lot.
Oh, like a
and it's got
dimensional
a little bit
delay.
And it's got some chorus in it, but I don't even know if it would sound good with this right now, but. Trails off.
That is the thing I love about you, Candy Rad dudes. Like, you make me feel all the feels without words.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You,
like,
man.
Your phrasing is just so
it's so nice,
different
man.
And beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you so
I just
much,
love it, man.
Oh, it's so sweet. Thank you. That sound, like, I love making sounds like that at home, just in the studio or whatever, because it kind of, it puts you in a spot where, like, you can, everything you play kind of sounds, kind of leads into the next.
Right.
Like, it helps with your creativity a little bit when you have that much delay and, like, space, you know? So, yeah, that's a cool patch. I'm not using it live right now so much, but I do use that delay with distortion on a couple melodies. So this is, like, pretty overbearing, but when you're using it in the context, it sounds great. So,
yeah,
it just trails
it's
on
a
forever.
Lot in the room by itself, but man, yeah, in a whole band context, of course.
It's kind
of,
like that patch on the flashback kind of adds a little bit of, it's like just slightly louder than the other one, so it kind of adds a little bit of boost too. And then this is just, I use this sound more, I have another band called Pharaohs, and I use this on a couple songs, but I'm using it in my instrumental set right now too. But this is just that second delay, but then with the phase 90.
That covers so much room.
It's and it's usually about twice as loud.
Sure.
So it's, it covers a lot of ground, but yeah, I'm not a like a huge modular effects guy. Like the phaser is pretty much as far as I go into that, you know?
Yeah.
But I love that sound though. So I use it a lot.
It's almost like you don't need more modulation. Because you're kind of doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
it's built into your
playing.
Thank you, man. No, that's, and that delay, that second delay has a little bit of mod in it too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like a little bit of chorusing.
Yeah.
But those are the only sounds I use live right now, man. It's mostly in the amp, I would say. Like, the amp's the biggest part of the sound more than anything. And just a little bit of delay. Like, as long as I have this, I could probably make it work with any delay pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But yeah, it's a pretty simple rig, man, to be honest.
I mean, considering how the complexity of your music, like, it is
kind of
a surprise to have it, like, it's just some, I've ribbon some delays, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm kind of old school, you know, like, I love using analog pedals, and, you know, it keeps it fun. That's pretty much it, man. The only thing, like, I really, you can see, like, it's all marked, like, I keep the setting. Now it's a little bit off. Like, I'll change some of the pedal settings. Yeah, live, usually. Depending on, like, we don't use in-ears or anything, so we're using just wedges.
So old school.
I'm pretty old school when it comes to playing live, But I don't know. Yeah, it's just, every room sounds different.
Yeah.
And, like, I love when you're in the in-ears, it kind of, like, closes you off from that. It's like you're doing the same thing every night, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I love, like, hearing how different venues sound and, like, how the amp sounds in different places, stuff like that, so... Yeah, I'm always messing with it a little bit, but overall, it's like the gear stays the same.
Well, Sammy, I'm always impressed.
Paris, so good to see you, man.
It's great to see you. You just coming off the run with John 5.
Yeah, it was great, man. John's wonderful.
I would imagine that his audience probably sees you and is like, holy shit, this is cool.
Because they're
guitar heads, you know?
His whole crowd is, guitar players. Yeah. But no, I'm really lucky to have gotten to play with him on a few shows.
Yeah.
And it was a really great tour for
me and
the band.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really thankful.
What's next for Sammy Bowler? I know you're just coming off a whole tour, so
I'm working on a new album, so it'll be out in the summer. It's almost done.
Great news.
Yeah, it's all
lovely.
Good.
All right, well, can you tease anything else? Is there a title yet?
I can't say yet.
Oh, okay, all right. And again, on Candy Rap?
It's going to be on Candy Rap.
What a lucky label to have you.
Thanks, man.
It's a good fit, man.
Well, I appreciate it, Perry.
You guys, thanks so much for watching. Stay tuned for more Rig Rundowns. Drum Rundowns, if you haven't checked those out, are pretty rad. Check those out, too. Tell your drummer. We'll catch you on the flip side. Bye.
Cheers.
Strings have a lot to do with your tone. The NYXLs for me have always tonally been great.
I really need that friction to feel my slides. I depend on that friction even for accuracy.